Welcome to episode 4 of the Pre-Marriage Podcast with Dave and Ashley Willis. We're having so much fun with this, just helping you build a solid foundation for your future marriage and talking about the practical stuff that every couple needs to be able to address with one another before they say, I do. And of course, this whole podcast is also meant to point you guys to our brand new video course called Preparing for I Do, which you can find at premarriage.com.
That's right. And I'm so excited about today's episode. We're going to talk about getting on the same page when it comes to finances. Let's dive in. Okay, today we're going to talk about one of the biggest sticking points for most couples, and that is the subject of money. Because all of us feel a certain way about money, whether we have a lot or a little or somewhere in between, we have feelings about it. And so those feelings can kind of bubble up. And before you know it, it can turn into a fight because we can manage it differently. And maybe just, you know, maybe, we have different opinions on the purpose of money and how we should feel about money. And so that's why we want to do a specific episode about this, because now is the time when you are engaged to talk about how you feel about money, how you want to manage money, and really ultimately what role money plays in your life.
It's so true. Right now, financial stress is listed as one of the top causes of divorce. And that's just completely preventable.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you have a unified mindset about, like Ashley said, what money is, what our goals are, understanding each other's personalities as it relates to money, it's going to help you so much. And you and your spouse are wired up differently as it relates to money. Part of that wiring is personality-based, where one of you might be more of a risk taker, one of you might be more of a saver and prefers kind of security to new adventure. And you've got to work through those dynamics. Part of those differences are because of how you were raised.
Oh, yeah.
If you were raised in a home where there was like a scarcity mindset, where, you know, your parents looked at money as there's never enough and we've just got to scrape by and survive. Or maybe your parents, you know, had a lot, they were affluent, or maybe they overspent beyond their means. However we were raised, it impacts us. And having these conversations, it's delicate, but it's important to say, all right, like, what are we bringing into the marriage in terms of our current, you know, debts and financial assets? And what are our goals for having unity around those issues?
Yes.
I can't overstate the importance of these conversations.
Absolutely. And it all starts with just simply talking about kind of your view on money. And like Dave said, a lot of times it is kind of how we were raised, what kind of experience we had with money. And for some of you, I mean, maybe you've been on your own a long time, you've made your own money, and like you have a way that you manage your money, and the thought of combining incomes with your spouse scares you. And maybe you've been told, you know, you probably should just keep your own account because you can never trust anybody else with that money you're bringing in. You've worked hard for that money. And I get that mindset because you probably have worked very hard for your money and you've established a lot in your career. But I want to encourage you to still come to your spouse, talk about these things. That's why we're doing this podcast episode right now. And talk about that fear that you have and say, you know, I've worked so hard for what I have. I want to protect money. I've been without. It's not fun. I want to make sure that I never have to have that fear of being poor. Like maybe you've gone through poverty and I'm a little scared to combine our incomes and for you to be able to also manage my money with me. You need to talk about those things, but I want to encourage you, even if you have that fear, talk through it, maybe even get some counseling. Because if it's this deep rooted fear because of something you experienced in your past, you got to get past that. Because if you constantly feel like your money is only yours and you're constantly wanting to just keep your money over here and never let your spouse know what you're making or have any say in any kind of expenses collectively, then that's a problem because that means you're not trusting your fiance right out of the gate and you're not going to miraculously trust them all of a sudden once you get married. And so you need to talk about right now, how are we going to combine our incomes? How are we going to set a budget? Because one of you is probably better at it than the other. And who's going to kind of run point on the finances? Because we are very, very big proponents of both spouses knowing what's coming in and going out. There never needs to be one spouse who knows all the money coming in and who takes care of all the bills, because that's toxic and that can lead to secrets and that can lead to misunderstandings and even bad behaviors. But, you know, both people need to know what's coming in and going out. But there has to be one person who kind of runs point on it. And it's usually the one who's a lot better with money. You know, in our own marriage, Dave, for the most part, there's been seasons where I've kind of managed the budget. But for the most part, he runs point on it. But he always keeps me in the loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
We always
make the decisions together.
Right. And that's really helped us have financial peace.
It has. And we had to, it was a messy road of getting there, because early on in our marriage, we didn't have these conversations before we got married the way that we should have. Yeah. Now, in part, it was because we didn't have any money to talk about. Like, we were broke. Like,
I was a student.
We were engaged. We were both college students. Yep. Like, I didn't have, like, any money. We were, like, we were going to start out just broken in love, and we'll figure it out. Now, early on, because we didn't have these conversations and didn't have a clear plan, we did fall into some pitfalls of overspending, of falling into debt, of scarcity, of just not having enough, of a lot of financial pressure. But through those lean early days, we made some specific decisions to dig ourselves out of that hole. And we committed together within those early years of marriage to some principles. And number one was that we were going to trust God with our finances because it all belonged to Him and we were just temporarily entrusted to it. And so because we trusted Him with our finances, we were going to follow the biblical model of tithing. And that means giving. And this might sound crazy to you, but this is God's plan. And I promise you, He blesses it. Giving 10%, the first 10% of your income back to the church for God's ministry as a way of saying, God, it all belongs to You. You've asked for this tithe, this first 10% to be set apart specifically for Your work. And we're not going to steal from You. That's totally Yours. Everything we have is Yours, but You've asked for that specifically. And so we're going to trust that You can bless the remaining 90% more than we could take the 100% and bless it on our own. And God has so honored that in so many ways. So even tithing was easy early in our marriage because we had like no money, and 10% of nothing is nothing. And so it was easy, but it requires more faith as time goes. Yeah. We also made the decision we're going to do our best to live debt free. And at the time we had a bunch of consumer debt because we put a bunch of stuff on credit cards. And so we had to make a plan to be disciplined and to get out of that debt and the freedom of paying that last credit card bill. It's a freedom that's hard to describe because, you know, the Bible says a borrower is really a slave to the lender. We're selling away our own freedom when we're taking on that kind of debt. And maybe you feel the weight of that right now. You don't have to live under the weight of it. Just make a plan together to really strategically, systematically get out of it. We talk about a very straightforward, clear path to do that as part of the Preparing for I Do course on the lesson for richer or for poorer, which is all about money. And also the premarital assessment tool that's part of that Preparing for I Do course has some very important conversations about money as well. And again, you can find all those resources at premarriage.com.
You know, so many engaged couples spend so much time and money on preparing for their wedding, but they often forget that they need to prepare for their marriage. Well, we have got a great new resource for you, and it's called Preparing for I Do.
That's right. This video course is going to have so much information to help spark meaningful conversations for your future marriage and to help you set a solid foundation for your life together. The videos aren't all that are part of the course. There's also a powerful assessment tool designed by Jimmy Evans, which is going to lead you through some of the most important conversations you've ever had as a couple. To access all this and much more, check out the site premarriage.com.
We also kind of adopted a rule that we learned about from our church from a couple who was about 10 years ahead of us. And it was the rule of 50 is what I like to call it. And for you, it might be a different number, but it goes like this. So anytime we were spending anything over $50, beyond our normal, you know, bills that we had, like grocery bills and paying electric or whatever it was. But if there was anything over $50, we would call or text each other and just say, hey, is it okay if I get this thing that's over $50? And most of the time, we would tell each other yes. But there would be some times where we would remember, like one of us would remember, oh, there's this bill coming up and that $50 is going to make a difference. And we would probably bounce a check or something if we went ahead and bought that thing now. And so we would say, can we wait and buy that thing you want till the next month? And I'm telling you, just checking in with each other and getting on the same page in those moments of you know, seeing if we could buy that item that's over $50, it helped us have so much peace and to get on the same page. It always brought us back. Now for you, it might be less. You know, maybe it's $25. Maybe you need to check with each other for anything over $25. Maybe it's a lot more than that. It's $200. Whatever it is, right now would be a great time for you to talk about that and say, listen, what is that threshold where we need to check with each other? You know, is it 50? Is it 100? Because I want to make sure I'm never spending something and then you're resenting me for it because you're the one really watching the numbers closer. And I'm telling you, every time we've done this, it's so good. And most of the time, like I said, Dave's told me yes, and I've told him yes. But there have been a couple times where one of us will remember a bill that was maybe out of the ordinary that we knew was coming our way, and it would help us maintain that peace by holding off a little bit on purchasing that thing that we wanted. It's not even saying no, it's saying wait.
Yeah, and it's bringing both of each other into the decision-making process. It's just showing respect to each other.
Yes.
And again, that pride is the enemy of love. And pride says, it's my money, or I'm a grown person. I don't need to ask permission to buy some shirt at Target. It's not about permission, and it's not about that. It's about trusting and loving each other enough to realize every purchase I make is going to impact my spouse in some way.
Yep.
And out of respect for them, and also out of just communication, so that we are all on the same page and we know what's coming in and what's going out, that we need to have this threshold where if we're making an additional purchase, that we're bringing each other inside the loop. Yeah. And that does so much to just keep you guys connected.
It does.
I think that the more you take that mindset and apply it to all areas of your marriage, like every decision we make, every scheduling appointment that we make, that we're bringing each other into the loop and making sure the other's aware. And it shows respect, and it also keeps you guys headed in the same direction.
Absolutely. I think another thing that all couples need to talk about, especially in this pre-marriage phase, is what are the expectations when it comes to work? And I've seen this really cause some problems with married couples when they don't talk about this. And this has to do with things like, when you have kids, are you both going to continue working and find childcare, or is one of you going to stay home? And, you know, when couples don't discuss this and one has it, you know, in their mind, like, well, of course we're both going to continue working. And then the other spouse is like, no, my mom stayed home with me, so I'm going to stay home. That becomes a point of contention. Yeah. Because, you know, the one spouse is like, how can you say that? We're going to lose one whole income, and, you know, and how are we going to survive? You know, our lifestyle is going to have to change. I don't know how we're going to do this. But if you talk about it now, and one is really has their heart on one spouse staying home with the kids while they're young, you can prepare now and start saving for that time. And so this is one thing we did talk about. So early on, I think it was in our pre-marriage class that we had at our church, we were asked this question and we talked about it. We both had mothers who stayed at home, and we both kind of in our heart of hearts, we were like, if it's possible, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you really need both those incomes. But we were like, if it's possible, it would really be great if I, as the mother, could stay home at least for a time. And so we knew going into when we decided to start our family, which was about 3.5 years into our marriage, we knew that at some point I would be staying at home with the kids. We didn't really put how long on it, but we tried to as much as possible to prepare financially, right? Yeah. And so when I was working, what we did is when I was working beforehand as a teacher, we did not pull from my income for our normal bills. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
because we didn't want to depend on it.
Get used to living on one income.
Exactly.
And it wasn't a very big income at the time. I mean, these were very, very lean years.
Yeah.
But we'd made that choice together that, like, we're going to do everything possible for her to be able to stay at home in those early years. And we were laser focused on that goal. We just felt like that's going to be the best thing for our family. Even still, even when she was home during those years, she remained so incredibly, not only hardworking at home with the kids, but so incredibly resourceful. I said she's the Proverbs 31 talks about this amazing resourceful wife. I said she's a Proverbs 32 woman. She was like next level that. And she would look for ways to generate some extra income at times, you know, sometimes doing little side jobs for interior design, which is a great gift she has. Sometimes it would be through like selling stuff on eBay, you know, she'd resell stuff in her house, or she'd find a good deal on something at a yard sale and say, I know I can resell this. And just being resourceful. I called her my e-babe for a while because, like, she was always shipping something off from home, still full-time at home as a mom, but looking for ways to help continue to support the family. And I think that in your relationship, there are going to be seasons when both of you have to take on different roles.
Yes.
And you can't just dig in your heels and say, no, like you know, that's your job, this is my job, and that's all there is to it. But both of you would be willing to pitch in a variety of ways to help make ends meet. Especially during those lean seasons, which nearly every couple will experience. And when you do that together, it forges a deeper partnership and friendship with the two of you. Like, we're in this together, and, you know, we're gonna enjoy these lean years by, like, we're finding solutions together.
Yeah.
And
it was fun.
It was.
I remember we had to be like super creative because, like you said, it was very lean, but I felt like it was a challenge that we were excited to take on. And we tried to think outside the box. I mean, there's so many ways, especially nowadays, even more so than what we had 20 years ago, you know, that you can do online. There's businesses you can do from home. If you have that desire for one of you to stay home with the kids, you can do a lot from your house and generate income online. And so you have to think outside the box. And you also have to talk about, you know, okay, we know that for a time, maybe one of us wants to stay home with the kids. But, you know, what if that person eventually wants to go back to work? How are we going to feel about that? How are we going to adjust our budget to that? And that was our story. I mean, eventually I did go back to work. I went back to teaching for a time. Then we got into marriage ministry. I went back designing for a time. And so it kind of, you know, Dave has changed jobs over the years. We've moved. There's been a lot of different parts that have affected, you know, of our lives that have affected our finances. But every time we always came together, got on the same page. And sometimes that would take, you know, a lot of time in prayer. It's not always one conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. It's an ongoing prayer because there are going to be opportunities that come your way that maybe seem more lucrative. And to you, you know, you're like, well, this is a no-brainer. Let's move the whole family across, you know, the United States and do this job because it's more money. And maybe your spouse is like, hold on. You can't put a price tag on where we are. I don't know if we need to make this move. And that's a time where, you know, you're going to have to pray through it because we truly believe that God will rarely call you to do some big drastic move like that if you're not both on the same page, because he wants us to have peace in our homes. He wants our marriages to stay connected. And there is no amount of money that is worth, you know, ruining your marriage over. And that's just a principle that all married couples need to remember and accept. And it gets harder when there's more money on the line. And so right now, maybe that's not a big deal because you're maybe like us and didn't have much of anything when you're maybe at this point where you're getting married. But when there is more money on the line, or maybe the two of you have been in your career for a long time and you both do make a lot of money, it becomes trickier, right? And especially when you're both really set and established in your career and all of a sudden one is offered that move or that promotion and you're like, wait a minute, I've worked for 10 years of this career and this would just, you know, really put me in a better position. And not only for me, but our family in a better position. And maybe your spouse isn't so keen on it. These are moments where you have to remember that you are partners, that you are not enemies, that your spouse is not trying to hold you back, but that money isn't everything and promotions aren't everything. And you need to really talk through that and decide, is this the best move for our family in moving our family and our marriage forward? And if so, awesome. Then you get the bonus of having more money, but maybe sometimes it's not. Maybe staying put and maybe being creative about making up that extra income in other ways is the best solution.
Yeah. Because like Ashley said, there's no amount of money that's worth a lack of peace or a lack of unity in your home and in your marriage. And so these conversations we're encouraging you to have are really just to set you up for that peace and that unity through all seasons of your marriage, whether it's seasons of leanness where you're scraping by or seasons of great affluence, you know, where a lot of resources are coming in. And in all those seasons and everywhere in between, they're going to be money stressors. You know, you'll never get to a place where like money stress will automatically go away, because whether you're managing a little or a lot or somewhere in between, there are nuances with it and there are important conversations with it. And there could be division over it if you're not creating healthy habits of how you talk about it.
Absolutely.
So again, have these conversations to help guide you through these conversations. Check out the Preparing for I Do video course. You can find that at premarriage.com. The video course, of course, also, has a nice ring to it.
I love that.
It has an assessment tool with questions to ask each other about every specific area of marriage. And the questions around finances are so practical. And it's going to help you guys discover and rediscover some things about your own financial personalities and some important aspects of that. The course also includes a discussion guide to really, really help guide through these discussions, which is going to create habits of communication that will last deep, deep, deep into your marriage. And so create those habits now. Guys, thanks so much for being part of this episode. Let your other dating and engaged friends know about the Premarriage Podcast so they can join us in this journey of building a strong foundation for marriage. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.